This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Let me begin by offering congratulations to all of you for just being here. Woo-hoo! Insurance companies say that people who attend church services on a regular basis live an average of 5.5 years longer than those who don't. And you're here on Easter Sunday. Well, good for you. However, Easter hasn't been our only focus this month, has it? I mean, for we Americans just experienced another event, Tax Day. I trust all of you did your duty and filed your annual return. By the way, did you know that in 1950, the average American family sent $1 out of 40 to Washington for taxes? Today it's $1 out of 2 or 3. But in spite of the inconveniences in America, I would still rather be here than any country in the world, wouldn't you? When a seventh grader asked former Secretary of State William Bennett how a person could tell a good country from a bad country, he replied, "I apply the gate test. When the gates of a country are open, watch which way the people run. Do they run into the country or do they run out of the country?" By the way, if you go to Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., you may be surprised to see a quote by Thomas Jefferson inscribed there. And it reads this way. It says, "God, who has given us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure if we have removed from the hearts of these people the belief that those liberties are the gift of God?" I'd like to take just a moment to say that because of the strong faith in God demonstrated by our nation's founding fathers, we are able to meet openly and freely like we are today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful for that, aren't you? Well, you repeat after me, "In my life, God deserves the glory for the good things I have and the freedom I enjoy." Amen. Incidentally, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this week's devastating fire of the magnificent Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And although it's now reported that firefighters and priests were able to save many of the precious artifacts, it's estimated that it will take, in spite of what their president says, it's estimated it will take 15 to 20 years to restore this famous Gothic structure. But this is not the first tragedy that's happened to the historical cathedral. Over its history, it's suffered great damage during conflicts like World War I, World War II, as well as being neglected at one point to where they were thinking of demolishing it. As you probably know, the cathedral was originally built in 850 years ago. And it took nearly two centuries to complete the construction. I so admire the vision and the commitment and the faith of those who began that construction, for they knew they would never live to see it finished. And yet they chose to give their lives to building a monument to bring glory to Jesus Christ and his mother. Impressive. And today I feel a little bit like they must have felt. Just full of faith. This is Easter Sunday.
Praise the Lord.
Some of you are lacking some energy. Just me and you, Greg. This day exists to celebrate Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Really, man, I'm not kidding. He rose, he was nailed to a cross and left there until he died. And afterwards, the soldiers stabbed him with a sword to make certain he was dead. He was then taken down, was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, the tomb was empty. and Jesus was alive again. He appeared to many people over a 40-day period before actually leaving the earth and ascending up into heaven as they all watched. What I'm saying is this. Jesus is no longer dead. Amen. Jesus is alive today, and he's going to be alive forever. He has literally defeated death and the grave. And he promises that we too can overcome death and the grave if, everybody say if. Yes. If we will trust and follow him. See, this is the good news of Easter. You and you and you and you and you and me and all of us. You know, we can all live forever with the God of the universe if we will simply trust and obey Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tell me, how many of you here enjoy science fiction? Anybody like science fiction? You know, like sci-fi movies or books. Okay, so what are some of your favorites? What? Star Wars? Alien? Come on, come on, give me some. Lord of the Rings. Spider-Man.
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Back to the Future. Superman. The Hulk. Cocoon.
Terminator.
No?
Terminator.
Terminator. The Matrix. Iron Man. What? Any more? Avengers, Encino Man. You say that is, yes it is, that couldn't happen. Total Recall. Ooh, how about The Thing? Did any of you ever go see when that first came out? Oh. I had some people with me and they couldn't get up, their legs were too weak after they saw that. Hunger Games, Men in Black, Jurassic Park, The Howling. A whole bunch. Okay, do you realize that many people put the Easter story in the same category? But Easter's not science fiction. In fact, it's science nonfiction. And while it's true that the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who are unsaved, it's also the power of God to those of us who believe. The Apostle Paul talks about this in his letter to the Corinthians, where he says, I know very well how foolish the message of the cross sounds to those who are on the road to destruction, but we who are being saved recognize this message as the very power of God. And now we can look also over at the Old Testament, where Isaiah talks of the crucifixion of our Lord 700 years before it ever happened, where it says, but he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. See, friends, listen, something glorious happened when Jesus allowed wicked men to nail him to a cross. For there were some exchanges that were made. He took and he gave. And you have to go to the cross to see what the Son of God took and what the Son of God gave. For what he took and what he gave determines our eternal destiny as well as our present peace. I'm talking about the great exchange at Calvary. And I want to suggest some things that he took. See, he took punishment and he gave peace. The punishment that he took on his back, see, did not belong to him. It belongs to us because of our disobedience and because of our rebellion, because of our resistance, because of our self-will. None of us deserve a heaven. None of us deserve the forgiveness of God. None of us deserve good things. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why there's no peace between mortal, sinful people and a holy, righteous God. There is no peace. He says, I love you. I want the best for you. But because we don't trust him, we don't believe him. We doubt his love. Or we don't think he knows as much about what's best for us as we do. Therefore, we refuse to accept what he offers. We won't follow his directions for a better life. In other words, we are just rebellious people. We are self-willed children. By our very nature, we are disobedient and alienated from God. By our very nature. The sad truth is, the wrath of God rests upon us because of our very nature. But Jesus at Calvary, he took care of that. The Apostle Paul in the 5th chapter of Romans says, therefore, being justified by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. Jesus paid the price for my rebellion. He paid the price for my resistance. The punishment that belonged to me was put on him, and although he didn't have to, he took it. He took my punishment, and when he did, he gave me peace. Now, when we talk about peace, I think we have to talk about it in two different directions. Because, you see, we can have peace with God and still not have the peace of God. See, I may have a lot of things bothering me. I may be troubled in my own heart, but I can still have peace with God. I can be at peace with God. But I'm so glad to be able to tell you that as I've learned to trust and fully depend on him, I can also have the peace of God because I'm trusting in him presently. I'm talking about the great exchange. He took my punishment, gave me his peace. And because of that, I don't have to be afraid of God. You think it would be odd for someone to be afraid of God? God is big, and he's terrifying. Do you know that? Do you know God created the whole world? Do you know God could just go, I see you there, and that's the end of you? Do you know he could do that? There is nothing to stop him from doing that. If God picks on you, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tattle to? Who's going to take you? Listen, he is all-powerful, almighty, and praise God, he's loving. He could be so different, but he's not. I don't have to be afraid of him because of that price that was paid. I had sin on me, and then the wrath of God was on me, but he said, no, but Jesus paid the price, and now I have this peace. I don't have to shrink back. I don't have to be so deeply concerned. I don't have to hide in the darkness of sin because I have peace with him. What great fellowship. What sweet assurance. What a marvelous relationship. Because at Calvary, he was punished so that I might have his peace. And friends, that's what Easter's all about. There's no other place where rebellious, sinful people can find inner peace except as they come to the cross and witness the great exchange. Christ takes my punishment, gives me his peace. What a bargain. What a blessing. What a hope. What a provision. What a thrill. What a relationship. What a power. What a victory. Oh, but that's only the beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this. It says, God who made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Yes, 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 yes. You see, I don't know if you get this or not, but this is where we Christians tend to get a little bit excited because we discover that at Calvary, Jesus took our sin. He became sin for us, and what did we? We became righteous. Wow. Now listen carefully. Don't miss this. Don't miss what I'm getting ready to say here. He did not die for our sins, our actions. Instead, Jesus died to pay for our nature of sin. He died to pay for that thing inside of us that drives us to keep on committing sin. In other words, he took the penalty for my sin nature, and he gave me his righteousness. And you know why this is such a wonderful thing? Because without his righteousness, we have no hope. None. Because none of us has any righteousness on our own. Hey, we're sinners by nature. And the proof that we're sinners by nature is that in this mortal body, we do commit acts of sin and disobedience, don't we? Oh, not you? Only one thing worse than being a sinner, that's lying about it, so stop it. None of us were born sons and daughters of God. We were all born sons and daughters of the flesh. Oh, but when Jesus died, he made it possible for us to be born again. Oh, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You see, when we look at Calvary, we see, by the way, I love this cross. Isn't this great? When we look at Calvary, we see the Son of God paying the price for sin. We see him choosing to give his life. See, nobody took it. He chose to give it. He gave it. If someone asks me, they say, where's your sin? I answer, it's on the cross. Jesus took it. And not only my sin, but the sin of the whole world. Please note, however, that when he takes my sin, he doesn't just leave me empty. Oh, no. He gives me his righteousness. Oh, what an exchange. No wonder there's power in the cross. No wonder Paul says, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. No wonder the secular system out here in the world hates the preaching of the cross. No wonder the materialistic church wants to put the cross in the background and cut the blood sacrifice out of the scriptures. No wonder hell fights the cross. Oh, we can be social preachers, we can be political preachers, and the world doesn't really pay much attention. But preach the cross and the Christ of the cross, and it stirs the very powers of darkness. You know why? Because of the great exchange that took place at the cross. Oh, we are not fools who have come to the cross. No, the fools are the ones who have avoided it. We're not unwise to have embraced the cross. No, it's the foolish ones who've sidestepped it. We've not gone overboard because we rejoice and we weep and shout in the shadow of the cross. No. The unbalanced people are the ones whose emotions are stirred only when they're away from the cross. Because where else can mortal man go to be free of his sin? Where else can you go to make an exchange to receive the righteousness of God? Nowhere but the cross. Okay, I want to look at one final passage of Scripture. One more section. This is in the book of Galatians. Stay with me because this is where the sermon begins. This other thing was just set up. Here we go. Scripture says, Galatians 3:10, But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all these commands that are written in God's book of the law. See, some people say, hey, I'm doing the best I can. Well, the best you can isn't enough. Effort is not enough. I'm sorry. The Bible says it's not enough. The law cannot produce righteousness. It can only bring condemnation. This means that anyone who is only trying to do the best they can still has the curse on them. Curse? What curse? You say, well, what's up with that curse? Well, it's the curse of the law. You see, the law does not set free. Therefore, the one who's trying to be good and trying to keep the law without the power of the Spirit already has a curse on him. But listen to what it says in verse 13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse. He's rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took himself upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it's written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Jesus became a curse so that we can receive a blessing. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, and we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. It's the promise, the blessing. Okay, listen, Abraham was not saved because he prospered. He was not saved because he was blessed. He was saved because when he believed God, not believed in God, all different. Take the preposition out. No, he didn't believe in God. He believed God. When he believed God, God assigned righteousness to him. And when you believe God, God will assign righteousness to you. When you believe what he said. And when he did that, it says he gave Abraham his spirit. See, when you and I choose to kneel at the cross, the curse that keeps us from having a blessing is nailed to that cross. And then Christ, who became a curse for us, blesses us with the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. See, it's the Spirit of God who gives me life even when there's a sentence of death on me. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body, that same Spirit will raise you from the dead, too. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That is the applause place. Are you kidding me? That, my friends, is the blessing of Abraham. For by faith, he believed in the resurrection. Amen. We've been talking about it all day. Pastor Alex had a great message on that over at the sunrise service. And it continues today. It's the message. Now, you know, this is a pretty special time of year for me because it was on Easter weekend, 1978, when I was 29 years old, that I exchanged my life for his life. On a day just like today, I responded to an invitation to the cross of Jesus Christ. And why did I do it? Because I realized it was the only place I could get rid of my curse and get a blessing. Yep. I finally believed that Jesus truly was who he said he was. And I accepted his offer to cover my sins. I surrendered. And it was there at the cross when Jesus took my punishment, gave me peace. It was there at the cross, where Jesus took my sin and gave me righteousness. It was there at the cross when Jesus took my life and he gave me a new, never-ending, amazing life where I have a personal relationship with God himself. Oh, yes, we rejoice at the cross. We rejoice because it's by the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that people shall be saved. That's why today, because God loves you, the question he's asking you is, what will you do with the Christ of the cross? And there's only two possible answers. We'll either accept him or we'll reject him. There's not a middle ground. He says, well, I'm not going to accept Christ, but I'm not going to reject him either. Yeah, you just did. If you're not going to accept him, you rejected him. See, to reject him is to be under the curse and under sin and under punishment. But to accept him is to be free. Free! Free! For it's at the cross that Jesus paid it all. The challenge for each of us is so clear. Will we exchange our sin for his righteousness? And why wouldn't we? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for using this message to remind us of how much you love us, how much you proved your love by willingly giving your life to pay for our sin. Lord, I, for one, am eternally grateful for you taking my sinful nature in exchange for your righteousness. I realize, Lord, that your righteousness is my only hope for an eternal life with my Heavenly Father. There's nothing I can do without you. And so I now earnestly pray that you will enable every person hearing me to realize the same thing. May each one be willing to make the great exchange with you today. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now I'm so glad that you chose to celebrate Easter with us today and allowed us the opportunity of sharing what Easter really means. If you're here and you're still holding on to your sinful nature and you would like to make the exchange, if you'd like to swap your sinful life for his righteous eternal life, our staff is here to help you. If you'd like to talk with me personally, I will be available after the service. Pastor Alex, would you come and conclude for us?
I'd like to share a story as we prepare to dismiss. It's a story that some of you have heard from me before, but after this message, I feel like it's the right story to wrap up with. As many of you know, I coach track up at Smithville High School. And a few years back, I had an athlete whose name was George. George was a good kid. I mean, he had a rough home life. He didn't have a dad. He didn't have a father figure. But he was just a good kid. He wanted to fit in. He wanted to be a part of what was going on. But as we talked about in Galatians there, George was cursed to be a JV runner. He did not have what it took to ever earn a varsity medal on my team. He wasn't fast enough. He didn't have the genetics to do it. No matter how great my training plan was, he, despite all of his effort, would never be a varsity letterman. And it just so happened that I happened to have the best team that I had had in school history. They went on to be All-State. They took the school record. And so we came to this meet in which I pulled these guys aside. I had these athletes that were individual All-State. They were going to get medals at state. And I said, listen, we're going to do something that we've never done before. George isn't good enough to ever get a varsity letter. He'll never get a varsity medal, no matter how hard he tries, and he's not good enough to be on a relay with you guys. But I'm putting him on a relay with you. And here's the plan. I need you guys to run the best you've ever run. Because George, we're going to do for George what George can't do for himself. George, despite his best effort, is never going to get a varsity medal. But with you guys, there's hope. There's hope. The relay can lift the curse of George being a JV runner. So I put these guys out there, and I went and I got a hold of George. I said, George, I said, I'm taking you to the varsity meet. He said, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to take you to the varsity meet. He said, well, what am I going to run? I said, I'm going to put you on a relay. He said, really? I said, yeah, really. He said, with who? And I told him who, and his eyes got real big. He said, are you sure this is a good idea? I said, George, I said, it's a great idea. And I said, here's what I need from you, George. I said, you've got to run the best you've ever run in your whole life. And you got to hand that baton off. And so George took off in this race. He was nervous. He was scared, kind of excited, quirky as he is, and ran as hard as he possibly could. Yeah, I think we're second to last. There ain't no way we're going to get top three. But that next runner, he took it and got a spot. Handed the baton off. Next runner got two spots. Gave it to our anchor. We didn't just pull third. We didn't slide into second. We took the whole race. And we got George a gold medal. After the race, I saw George off in the distance on the phone. Mom, you wouldn't believe it. I got a medal. I'm a varsity letterman, Mom. George was cursed to be a JV athlete. There was a relay that could lift that curse. And because of the relay, because of those three other legs, George received the blessing. And the same is true for you and I. That no matter how hard we try, we're never going to be good enough to make it into heaven. We're never going to have enough rush. And no matter how hard we try, we are cursed. But the good news for you and I is that there's a relay made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And on that relay, you're going to come in first place. And that blessing is going to come because the relay will lift the curse. For you and I, we've got to be willing to swallow our pride, to recognize our true condition, and to team up with the best relay around. And if we're humble enough to do that, and if we're willing to do that, we'll experience the blessing of God. But if we keep trying on our self-effort and say, I don't need that team, I can do it on my own, we'll never make it. So as you've heard Pastor's message, as you've heard that there's a great exchange available, I want to encourage you to team up with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the path to victory, and it changes your life. And is it an immediate change? No. How long did it take him? 2 centuries to build the cathedral in Notre Dame? What? 2 centuries? I know some of you think that you got a lot of work to do in your life because you're a mess. But Philippians 1:6 says that God is faithful and that he will see to completion what he begins in you. So God's not done with you. If you all would you stand with me? If you would, I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing on you. If you want to team up with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Moore. It's the best thing that you could do. And if you don't know if you've ever teamed up and made yourself a part of that team,
Well, you will know. There's a distinct moment in time in which you'll say, yep, this was the moment I stepped onto the track. This is the moment I joined that team. God, we thank you for sending Jesus to allow there to be a relay process for us, because, Lord, without Jesus, we are without hope. And, Lord, you loved us so much that you sent your only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish. Lord, we pray for those that may be in this room that don't know you, that are living under that curse. Lord, may they stop in their self-effort and join your team. May today be the day of salvation. Just as Pastor Moore accepted you on Easter Sunday, 1978, may Easter Sunday, 2019, be someone else's beginning date. We love you, we thank you, and we ask for your continued blessing on our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.